Thank you for that beautiful music number. I was remembering that my heart was opened by that song as a young man, thinking that most of the church things were just silly. And then I thought about helping others and thought, I think I can get into that. On Friday, July 6, 2018, we concluded a week of an incredible wholesome recreational activity with 50 of the 74 in our posterity at Lake Powell. We were taking the houseboat back to Waweep Marina. Suddenly there was a frantic scream. Stop, stop the boat, London's gone. As I hurried down the hall, I saw the back gate of the houseboat was fully open, and London, an angelic blonde 5-year-old granddaughter, was nowhere to be seen. Everyone on board jumped into action. Her mother, Krista, was trying to explain through her sobbing that she had heard a scream and a loud thud noise. She thought it was London bumping off the boat and hitting the water. Everyone was searching frantically. I reached the back of the boat and searched the visible area. All I could see were 3 small dinghy boats and the ski boat in tow behind us, but that was all that was there. There was no blonde hair in the water, no tiny body struggling. Every mother there was in tears, her own mother repeatedly screaming out for London. Every second was agonizing as panic seemed to grow towards certain fatality. The mother collapsed to her knees and in a state of utter despair. Oh, please, God, do not let this be real. Do not let this be happening. Please, oh London. Her words rent my soul with anguish. Krista is my lovely, tender daughter-in-law, and my thoughts went to my son John, who had gone in on another boat. I wondered how we could possibly explain to him that London was gone, and that our sorrows, no matter how deep and real, could not bring her back. O ye fair one, how is it that ye are gone? This was a scene of anguish and sorrow such as I have seldom felt. Tears and groans and such a desire to turn the clock back just 5 minutes. To not have this be our reality. Suddenly life changed. We thought the entire boat had been searched, but my angel-inspired daughter, Kim, shouted through rejoicing tears that she had found London. She'd found her in a small bathroom with a faulty doorknob that was very difficult to open. The mother and the daughter were reconnected, and the painful heaviness of what seemed to be melted slowly as everyone clutched each other in tearful, relieved embraces. After this agonizing instant, my thought went to Mormon, the valiant Nephite general, prophet, and historian. His anguish of soul was not relieved with a sudden great message that his loved ones were somehow not gone. His reality was the loss of his people, in his case, for many, an eternal loss. It caused me to consider why we are here and how do we not lose the ones we love. Let's look at Mormon's own words. And my soul was rent with anguish because of the slain of my people. And I cried, O ye fair ones, how could ye have departed from the ways of the Lord? O ye fair ones, how could you have rejected that Jesus who stood with open arms to receive you? Behold, if he had not done this, ye would not have fallen, but behold, ye are fallen, and I mourn your loss. Please notice next what the heart and center of Mormon's lamentation consists of. O ye fair sons and daughters, ye fathers and mothers, ye husbands and wives, ye fair ones, how is it that ye could have fallen? But behold, you're gone, and my sorrows cannot bring your return. Here we, the families are no more. Here we find the how and why of our mortal journey. It is Mormon's haunting remorse for the loss of all the families and his conviction that this occurred because they rejected Jesus and departed from his ways that sways my heart to plead with you today to listen and learn and act. God is in the business of creating families, and we should make it our greatest priority. For the sake of your eternal family, give your heart to God. I pray that we all invite the Holy Ghost to bring into our hearts those principles meant to direct us and help you as you work toward individual perfection and in your creation of an eternal family. Devotionals are very important. Education is the difference between those who want to help and those who can. Almost 33 years ago, then President Joe J. Christensen, in a devotional, taught us that the most important hour of our week was Tuesday afternoon between 2 and 3 o'clock. Now I need to warn you of coming distractions. The moment we resist that which comes from God, we give Satan power over us. So today, I extend an invitation to all of you from 2 to 3 on Tuesdays, come to devotional. Do not resist that which comes from God. Get your homework done another time, whenever possible, even if you're hungry, tired, frustrated, or just don't feel like it. Come to devotional. And here's a great idea. It's a wonderful place and occasion to bring a date or sit next to someone and create a date. Get to know each other on a spiritual level. A recent letter from my amazing grandson serving in Oaxaca, Mexico, included this experience. This is from Elder Hunter Paul Clark. We had our last lesson with Jacobed and Enrique before they get baptized tomorrow. Jacobed was talking to us and said, "I don't think I have received my answer yet. If the church is," and then she paused. After a few moments, she said, "No, I have my answer, because I have seen the difference this has made in my family." We didn't have to say anything, and the Spirit testified to her in the moment. I know that the Spirit is the teacher here and can testify to everyone who is willing to listen. "I'm so excited for them," he said. The gospel has always been and was restored to bless families. The Antichrist Korihor taught the people that there would be no Christ. And a few verses later, we read that the men and the women began to commit whoredoms. Antichrist is anti-family, and anti-family is Antichrist. I think of the great anguish and hopelessness we felt that day at Lake Powell. We would have done anything to bring London back. I plead with you to build your foundation on the rock of Jesus Christ and his gospel by doing his teachings, that your houses do not fall and your children not perish. In another devotional here, Elder L. Tom Perry taught that the church is the scaffolding that exists to perfect the individual and exalt eternal families. From the discussion board this week, we had a picture of the Provo City Temple with the scaffolding still up and asked the question, which of these objects represents the church and which represents the family? Which is more important, the church or the family? What great insights were shared. Tyler Jones turned our attention to a quote from Elder Boyd K. Packer. "The end of all activity in the church is to see that a man and a woman and their children are happy at home, sealed for eternity." Tyler's comment was, "I think based on this that the whole point of the church is to hold up the family. Both are very important, But it's a good illustration with the temple and scaffolding to show that the temple could fall without the scaffolding. But without the temple, there's no point of having scaffolding. Likewise, the family could fall without the church, but there's absolutely no point to the church if there is no family. In that sense, I think the family is more important. End of the quote. So I ask you, why are we here? To create an eternal family. How can we do that? Jesus Christ and His eternal gospel. What is the biggest obstacle to individual growth, creating a family, and looking to Jesus Christ to succeed? The answer? Everything. James Christensen is the man who painted this picture. I believe many days that he used me as his model. Does this remind you of yourself? So busy holding fast to everything else, there's no time for the iron rod. Not sure which things to drop in order to safely move forward. Do you notice how Brother Christiansen put the rod above and that you have to reach up to get it? You have to make some choices to be able to discern exactly why we are here and how we can accomplish our purpose is so important. Jesus Christ and His gospel is the how. He is the way, the only way to successfully save our families. His life is the example and His teachings are the plan. He provides the rod of iron through His word. I wish to testify of God our Father's love and amazing capacity to hear and answer prayers. I also testify of the reality, goodness, and importance of and my love for Jesus Christ and for the Holy Ghost, who is their messenger and our greatest tutor. We have a family song. We sing it to Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It's Messiah 4, 9, and 10. Would you sing it with us? Believe in God, believe that He is and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God. And ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that ye do them. I must confess that my love and admiration for my beautiful angel bride borders on worship. But I did not realize she was German. I asked her how many children she wanted, and she said, children? Nine. So we have nine children. Elder Yario Mazzagardi shared this life-changing truth following his conversion as he was sealed in the temple. I felt as if the eternities had been divided at the altar between what came before and what came after, the sealing. That dividing line, the sealing, is the transition from having been forever single to learning to become forever one, which, when covenants are kept, really becomes not forever one, but forever without number. Crossing that line from single to sealed together should not be seen as a reason to put our flag on the marble victory arch or to just boast on Facebook. It's not as a victory march or some personal conquest. It truly is a call and a broken in full humility and gratitude. Alleluia. Thank you, Lord. The chance to become like Father with perfection and family was the reason for the sons of God shouting for joy in our pre-earth life. Eternal marriage truly is a pearl of great price, or more accurately, a pearl without price. The entire purpose of all existence, indeed, the great plan of happiness, is to be sealed in the temple and then to create an eternal family. God is in the business of creating and exalting families. The why of the focus, it is the focus of the family, a proclamation to the world. President Kim B. Clark strongly encouraged us to memorize the proclamation on the family. Here is a mnemonic device that may be helpful to you as you memorize the proclamation and keep it memorized. I testify that memorizing the proclamation will become a powerful help in your own life, in not losing your family, and as you defend the family. First, we take the first letter of each word in the first four paragraphs. We get the word wait. Then we take the first two words from the next three paragraphs. We declare husband and wife, the family. So together, wait, we declare husband and wife, the family. That summarizes the proclamation. Finally, we warn and we call upon. Wait, we declare husband and wife, the family. We warn individuals and we call upon responsible citizens. Another great help from the family, a proclamation to the world. Paragraph 7 of the proclamation lists gospel principles in an hierarchical order. We are taught that successful marriages and families are established and maintained on principles, gospel principles. The first is faith. Faith is a strong conviction about something we believe, a conviction so strong that it moves us to do things otherwise not do. Sufficient faith brings us to prayer. It is the prayer of faith that brings the Holy Ghost. Prayer. When we sufficiently believe God, it brings us to talk with Him. Elder Packer taught, prayer is your personal key to heaven. The lock is on your side of the veil. When we sincerely come to God in prayer, we seek and see better our need to repent. Repentance or forgiveness. The solution to marital difficulties is not divorce. It is repentance. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. President Uchtdorf taught, I have discovered one thing that most happy families have in common. They have a way of forgiving and forgetting the imperfections of others and looking for the good. Those in unhappy families, on the other hand, often find fault, hold grudges, can't seem to let go of past offenses. Once we've repented and seek forgiveness, we will see that we must forgive. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and then to discover that prisoner was you. Then having forgiven, we can now respect. We're no longer looking down or judging others. Respect is to consider worthy of high regard. Where there is true respect, love can flourish, bloom, and bring forth fruit. Love one another as I have loved you. Charity is the love we seek in marriage. Compassion. Real love brings compassion. The final devotional of spring semester, Brother Nels Hansen taught that the Samaritan saw with compassion the dying man as someone of intrinsic worth and was willing to give his time and money to bring the man back to life. That compassion is crucial in families. President Hinckley taught many times, I am satisfied that happiness in marriage is not so much a matter of romance as it is an anxious concern for the comfort and well-being of one's companion. Any man, he promised, who will make his wife's comfort his first concern will stay in love with her throughout their lives and through the eternity yet to come. Work. Building a strong family takes hard work, and part of that work is teaching our children how to work. God himself calls his plan for his children, my work and my glory. Wholesome recreational activities. We want to work to keep this love and compassion alive, and that's what makes wholesome recreational activities meaningful. Just as honest toil gives rest its sweetness, wholesome recreation is the friend and steadying companion of work. The why is the fullness of the gospel. Without teaching the family, we are teaching only a partness of the gospel, not the fullness. The solutions to life's problems are always gospel solutions. Howard W. Hunter said, whatever Jesus lays his hands upon lives. If Jesus lays his hands upon a marriage, it lives. If he is allowed to lay his hands upon the family, it lives. Let me illustrate. This is how the why and the how of marriage work together. After several years in our marriage, there came a time when we were fighting about everything. The contention was constant. About that time, my studies found me reading the words of the resurrected Savior. There shall be no more disputations among you, as there have hitherto been. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, who is the father of contention. And he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend in anger one with another. I knew if I continued to serve the devil, it would destroy our marriage. I knew what I needed to do, I just didn't know how. Then one night we watched a movie on Chief Joseph of the Nez Perce tribe and his desperate attempts to keep his people free. For many months he was able to keep ahead of the cavalry. There were battles and many of his people died, and all were exhausted by their efforts. Finally, just one travel day from the Canadian border, the cavalry caught them. In his surrender, he declared, I want to have time to look for my children and see how many of them I can find. Maybe I shall find them among the dead. Hear me, my chiefs. I am tired. My heart is sick and sad. From where the sun now stands, I will fight no more, forever. End of the quote. I feared that if I continued fighting, I would lose not only my precious wife, but my children. I was deeply touched, and as I remember, I went into a back room in our home, and by piercing my finger in blood, I wrote, Dear Ruth Ann, I will fight no more forever. Love, Steve. She says she remembers a red magic marker involved in that. That decision brought peace to our home. It was not easy. Following that commitment, every time contention reared its ugly head, I would just raise my hands in surrender and say, I can't fight. I promised. Our lives improved and changed with a single covenant. Elder Bruce R. McConkie powerfully taught, I think that the noblest concept that can enter into the heart of man is that the family unit continues in eternity, building, of course, on the foundation of the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Celestial marriage is the thing that opens the door to eternal life in our Father's kingdom. The things we are talking about here are true. I'm continuing to quote Elder McConkie. That is the glory and the wonder and the beauty of everything connected with this system of revealed religion. It is true. There is no more glorious fact connected with our whole system of revealed religion than the simple fact that it is true. And because it is true, the doctrines we teach are true. They will give us peace and joy and happiness in this life. It is a wonderful thing beyond belief to belong to a system that is true, that is founded on the rock foundation of eternal truth. The family must prevail. This is one of the most awe-striking periods in the long history of mankind on this earth. Behind us lies the scattered wreckage of shattered marriages and bludgeoned homes. Our neighbors, our friends, our family members, our ward members, all the nation's confused and aborted peoples, all ye fair sons and daughters, ye fathers and mothers, ye husbands and wives, ye fair ones, how is it that ye could have fallen? This world was created for family and cannot continue its existence without family, upon all of whom the long night of barbarism without family will descend, unbroken even by a star of hope, unless we conquer. As conquer we must, as conquer we shall, the family must prevail. The living of one protective principle of the gospel is better than 1,000 compensatory government programs, which programs are so often like straightening the deck chairs on the Titanic. Winston Churchill shared that one day President Roosevelt told him that he was asking publicly for suggestions about what the war should be called. I said at once, the unnecessary war. Could the very same thing be said about family discord and the multiplying of divorces, the unnecessary conflicts? After the incident on the houseboat, my son-in-law Dave declared, no child without a life jacket while we were moving. Another time, Prime Minister Churchill taught, want of foresight, unwillingness to act when action would be simple and effective, lack of clear thinking, confusion of counsel until the emergency comes, until self-preservation strikes its jarring gong. These are the features which constitute the endless repetition of history. End quote. We counsel parents and children to give highest priority to family prayer, family home evening, gospel study, and instruction, and wholesome recreational activities. However worthy and appropriate other demands or activities may be, they must not be permitted to displace the divinely appointed duties that only parents can and families can fulfill. September 15th, 2018 concludes 50 years of teaching and church education, and this devotional is my last official opportunity at BYU-Idaho. But because of eternal marriage and the gospel of Jesus Christ and our 52-year young eternal marriage, we're not looking at this as any kind of an end. As C.S. Lewis taught, all we have done to this day is just the cover and the title page of our eternal story. Now at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. This is a song that we put together that expresses our conviction of eternal families. Grow old along with me, the best is yet to be. Now our time has come, we will be as one. God bless our love, God bless our love. Grow old along with me, through faith we're given to see. Daily prayers always done, brings us and God to be one. God bless our love, God bless our love. Grow old along with me, two branches on one tree.
must repent, must forgive. Without both we cannot live. God bless our love, God bless our love. Spending our lives together, man and his wife forever. Worlds without end, worlds without end. In the temple we have made sacred covenants that we keep. I'll take my Savior at his word. The best is yet to be. God bless our love. Grow old along with me. God's plan for us we see. Christ's teachings we'll pursue and create a love that's true. God bless our love. God bless our love. God bless our love. God bless our love. This blessing we pray for all of you in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.